If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Bill Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Coming up in this in-depth preview of the 2021 National Hillclimb Championships. WINNATS 21 organiser Nick Latimer tells us why sponsorship from Brother UK and others has been critical to bringing the Nationals back to the home of British hill climbing.
We had to get sponsorship. Brother were one of the biggest ones. They came back really quickly, said what they could do to support us, and it's immediately a load off your mind.
Adam Kenway, the 2016 British hill climb champion, explains why WINNATS Pass is a brutal ordeal, even for the best.
It's hard. It doesn't matter who you are, it's a hard climb to get up, especially if the weather's not on your side. On the wrong day, if you get a big gust of wind and it's wet, slippy, the best of riders can put the foot down and struggle to get up to the top.
Tony Wood, whose images have come to define the British hill climb scene, tells us why WINNATS Pass is a photographer's dream.
Physically, WINNATS is spectacular like you wouldn't believe. You've got to see it to believe it. The fact is, it's massive. It's just a win-win-win. If ever you said to me, where's the place they should have a hill climb, it's WINNATS for more reasons than I've got time to tell you.
Jack Young, the newly crowned Shropshire Junior Hill Climb Champion and a young man with autism, celebrates the inclusivity of the hill climb community.
I've made friends with a lot of people at hill climbs. We go there, do it, and then you can just discuss it with everyone afterwards. Everyone's had the same experience with it and everyone's really friendly.
Rebecca Richardson, the three-time and reigning Welsh hill climb champion, tells us why an optimal work-life sport balance is her ultimate marginal gain.
The biggest thing I've done is focus on general life satisfaction. That's a marginal gain. You need to hit the training right, but you need to hit all other areas of your life right as well in order to become a happy athlete.
Bike mechanic Rick Bailey offers an insider's view of the weird and wonderful world of hill climb bike tech.
Aerodynamics, rolling resistance, drillanium, you name it, it will appear at some point. Walk around the pit, so to speak, and there's all manner of crazy creations.
Larry Hickmott, the founder and editor of Brother UK sponsored VeloUK.net, celebrates hill climbing's feel-good factor.
As a grassroots sport, it's absolutely huge, and it's such a great spectator sport as well. It plays a huge role in the feel-good factor of the sport.
And Phil Jones, the managing director of Brother UK and this podcast co-host, describes the hill climb's unique appeal.
The hill climb scene, it really is so honest. It's about the communities, it's about the support for each other, all the different riders that are there, the people banging frying pans at the side of the road. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. If you've never been to one, you really ought to go. It really genuinely is a fantastic place to go and experience.
Hello and welcome to this new edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast, where today we're previewing the 2021 National Hill Climb Championships, which this year will be held at the home of British hill climbing, WINNATS Pass. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Phil Jones, the Managing Director of Brother UK. Phil, great to have you with us.
Hello, Tim.
Well, how exciting now to be only days away from the 2021 National Hill Climb Championships on WINNATS Pass. We've been busy gathering expert opinions from inside the hill climb community, and during the course of this episode, we'll bring you insights from those very much in the know. Brother UK-sponsored riders Adam Kenway and Rebecca Richardson will start among the favourites to lift the senior men's and women's titles respectively, and we'll hear from both. Mechanic Rick Bailey is Rebecca's partner, a fine rider in his own right, and a man with a detailed knowledge of hill climb bike tech. He'll tell us how and why to make a hill climb bike lighter and faster. Organiser Nick Latimer is well qualified to describe the event's financial and logistical challenges, having worked on it for nearly 2 years. We'll hear too from journalist Larry Hickmott, the founder and editor of VeloUK.net, from photographer Tony Wood, whose images have come to define the hill climb scene, and from Jack Young, the newly crowned Shropshire Junior Hill Climb Champion and a young man with autism who's found a home in the close-knit community of hill climbing. Phil, sum it up for us, will you please? What makes hill climbing such a wonderful part of British cycle sport?
Well, the hill climb scene, it really is so honest, isn't it? It's such an honest scene. It's about the communities. It's about the support for each other, all the different riders that are there, the people banging frying pans at the side of the road. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. If you've never been to one, you really ought to go because it's just fun. There's dogs, there's tea, there's flasks, there's a myriad of different people. It really genuinely is a fantastic place to just go and experience.
Well, a really nice summary there, Phil, and you're certainly not alone in your admiration for this unique discipline. Larry, of course, has seen more hill climbs than most of us have had hot dinners, including this year's edition of the Monsell Hill Climb. And Nick, naturally, he's deep inside this community, both as a rider and an organiser. Let's hear first from Larry and then from Nick about what makes this scene so special.
There are races like Monsell and that are so hugely popular. You know, I saw Malcolm Elliott there. I saw Russell Downing there. I saw lots of familiar faces there. Everyone having a good chat and everyone enjoying life. And that's what I mean about the feel-good factor. There is that big bond between everybody. And you do see the same sort of names keep coming up over and over again who are doing the hill climbs during the season. It's a fantastic discipline.
You get riders going once every minute or in the national champs once every 30 seconds. So you keep on seeing these people every minute, every 30 seconds for quite a long time. We get quite a big field. So at the national, we can have 300 riders. So you see 300 of these people going up a really steep hill, trying as hard as they can, pain on their faces, weaving across the road. And it's a spectacle.
Banter, camaraderie, pain faces. What's not to like? I mean, some great insights there into the appeal of hill climbing, Phil, both from Larry and from Nick. It's a unique discipline, isn't it? Brother UK, of course, has been at its side for a while now in the form of Adam and Rebecca, our sponsored athletes. But at the Nationals, we're going to go one better. We're going to step up and be an event sponsor, I believe.
Yes, we are. Chris and Nick reached out to me maybe a couple of months ago now and just said, look, we have this gap effectively between what we're yielding in terms of income from the entry fees and then what it's actually costing us to put the event on. And I do understand position because what they're trying to do is keep this tricky balance between the riders wanting as low as an entry cost as they possibly can and the commercial realities of how do you put on a national championship at this scale? And it's not just quickly, oh, let's all just turn up and do it. They've got so much to do. They had all the parish council liaisons. They've got to do the road closures. They've got to get an HQ together, health and safety, barriers. All of these things end up costing serious sums of money. And even with the amount of entries that they've got and the entry fee, it still is not enough to cover the cost of delivering the event without commercial sponsors. And that's where people like us sort of come in to effectively help out to bridge that gap effectively so that the event can be put on and at least wash its face. But what I'm really hoping is that it does more than that because the organisers, Nicholas and Chris, have committed to give any profits back to local causes. And I think that for me was like, that is so good because I know they've taken a lot of time and energy to win the parish council over, the National Trust, all the various stakeholders to get this national championships on. So if there's some way, even if there's a small profit where that can be given back to the local community, I think that's going to be a really, really good thing. And that's one of the key reasons why we also put some money in to effectively help them deliver this great championships this year.
Well, brilliant that we're able to sponsor the National Hill Climb Championships. And especially when, as you say, Phil, not only will Brother UK support help with the cost of staging the event, but also in boosting the funds of local causes, helping the communities around Castleton. It's more than a gesture, isn't it, from the organisers of Winnetts 21. Doing a bit of good in the local area was sort of central to their ambition to bring the national champs back to the home of British hill climbing, as we'll hear now from Nick.
Winnetts Pass is a hill that has held the National Hill Climb Championships more than any other hill. But it hasn't been held on there for something like 40 years because there used to be another road that went up the same direction, but then that road collapsed and it made it very difficult to close Winnetts to hold the national championships on it. Just since then, there hasn't been another hill climb on there, not even a club event. And we just thought we can try because we know some sport teams go up Winnetts Pass and manage to close it for short periods of time. It must be possible to get a road closure on there. There's no harm in seeing if we can get one. So we quite early on got in touch with the local parish council who at first really were not keen on the idea. They didn't want us to do it. They didn't want us to close the road. But we addressed as well as we could lots of their concerns about the inconvenience. That's why the event is quite early in the morning. We kept on engaging with them, which I think was important. We went to several parish council meetings. Any money we make are going to the parish council and the charities in Castleton. They ended up saying, okay, we'll let you do it. We thought, brilliant.
Wow. I mean, 40 years since the Nationals were held on Winnetts Pass. Times have changed, haven't they, since 1980? And nowhere more so in hill climbing than in the women's sport. Nick told me that there are 65 entries in the senior women's category. And at Brother, we're fortunate to have two of the pre-race favourites. Rebecca Richardson races in Our Colours as a sponsored athlete. And Mary Wilkinson of Crimson Performance Orientation Marketing is very much a member of the Brother Cycling family. Phil, I know you're looking forward to the senior women's race as much as any event at this year's Nationals.
Yes, I mean, when you look at the start list for this year's Nationals, I think the female start list is particularly strong, and I think it's going to be hotly contested. I think the favourites for the men's is probably a short list of maybe three riders, perhaps, that might be competing for that number one slot. But I think it's wide open, actually, on the women's side of the field. You know, Mary's riding very strong. Rebecca's, I know, in really great shape at the moment. Bitha Jones, I mean, there's a long list of names of very, very strong athletes who are in peak condition. They're peaked for the Nationals. And I think Winnetts is such a perfect place for it because after everything everyone's been through, to then put this on in one of the most iconic national hill climb venues this country has, with history going back over 50 years. And people may not realise there's never before been a female crowned national hill climb champion on Winnetts. So I think that accolade, given the historical context of this climb and what it's meant to national hill climbing, to be the first ever female to take the national hill climbs on Winnetts, I think it just adds a little extra kudos to that victory because that will be remembered for all time.
I mean, it's hard to imagine any of the senior women seriously targeting the national title needing any extra incentive, but a chance to be crowned on Winnetts Pass, that's got to be a major motivation. You know, Rebecca, she's a pretty inspiring figure by herself, isn't she? As well as being a parent and running her own business, she's a three-time Welsh Hill Climb champion, she's a winner on Monsell Head, and a very strong advocate for getting more women into the sport.
I've seen the sport of hill climbing in the women's field rise significantly in the last 2 years. But not only have I seen it rise in the area of hill climbing, but in general across cycling community. Women's sport is on an exponential rise. You can see it in the increased coverage of women's tour races, and it's fed down into the hill climbing too. We have a new generation coming through. I'm part of that generation, or I suppose we're part of the generation gap. Being in my mid-30s, the community of hill climbers is quite diverse. You have older generations, my generation, and younger generations. And now you're seeing my generation coming through and starting to organise, starting to be vocal. And really what I've seen in the last 2 years is that as a community, men and women alike, we've started to say, hey, hang on a sec, why have we got some anomalies here, like unequal prize money? And we're talking about grassroots levels. So, you know, it's like a fiver here or a tenner here, but it matters. The principle matters. And by addressing these anomalies, which are quite often historic from the fact that cycling used to be a male-dominated sport and women were considered a bit too fragile to ride a bike and compete, so they should be making the T's in the HQs or the headquarters. But really that perception of women's changed, I'd say. I really advocated for equal prize money at any event where it wasn't the case in 2019. So in most cases, the prize money was changed without any question. And that has continued to be the case. Since then, we've seen a big increase in the field of women coming to the sport in hill climbing. So this year, I'm already seeing more women at events at club level as well, which is really great to see.
Well, that's Rebecca. As we say, hard to imagine a stronger advocate than her for women's cycling. She's proved again and again that she can walk the walk as well as talk the talk. And I always think with Rebecca, you know, she's a bit more than an athlete. She runs her own architect's practice, she brings up her son Arthur, and somehow finds time to train and perform at the highest level. Not only, of course, is she a top hill climber, but this year she set a new record for the Brecon Beacon Circuit and won the inaugural British Road Bike Time Trial Championships. How on earth does she do it?
I think the biggest thing I've done is focus on general life satisfaction. I think that's a marginal gain, I would say, in terms of training. You know, you need to hit the training right, and that's something that I know I achieve, but you need to hit all other areas of your life right as well in order to become a happy athlete. It's not just a case of turning up and winning, it's the case of repeating that. How do you repeat that? It's dependent on a more holistic, sustainable view of how you operate. So I have spent quite a lot of time adjusting and adapting my life around my work and how I look after my family to ensure that those two things are the priorities and that they are in a good and healthy place. As in, my work is healthy, my financial stability is healthy. And then my family, are they happy? Am I spending enough quality time with them? And if I'm hitting those two things right, then I feel that I'm validated to go and do my training. And I get more of a quality session because I'm motivated. I know that I am being like a balanced person, a responsible person. That really helps me in my training.
Well, you don't meet an athlete like Rebecca every day, do you? It's interesting there, I think, Phil, to hear her use the word responsible, which of course is a key word for Brother. All the work that we do to achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goals and behave as a responsible business. Phil, this is very much your area of expertise, isn't it? I know you've read widely on high performance cultures, whether that's on the bike or in the boardroom. I guess what Rebecca's saying there will be very familiar to someone who leads a major business.
Yes, without a doubt, almost every coach that you ever talk to who's reached the top of their game globally have talked about athlete congruency, which is sort of having this absolute balance between all of their areas of their life as being one of the keys to unlock their best performances, to get into this flow state where actually they can just perform almost without thinking about it or overthinking it. And they're just arriving in this sort of total state of balance where it's just about the process and delivering all the things that they know they're capable of and pushing the pressure aside and just being in the moment to deliver this. And so the management then of all of these various elements of your life, which can be influential on how you feel mentally as well as physically, is vitally important. So the mental game now in any sort of performance sport or business leadership is as important as that physical game. And sometimes in life, maturity gets you there. Sometimes you've got to be coached there. Sometimes you'll have a life impacting experience which naturally gets you there, even at a younger point in your life. But when you get that moment where it begins to unlock, and when you realize that actually these things must be balanced and that you must have this internal congruency, then and at that point, things really begin to work for you. So I can really understand what Rebecca's saying there.
Well, we touched earlier on the quality of the senior women's field at this year's National Hill Climb Championships, and later in this episode, we'll turn our attention to the men. But I think it's fair to say that however strong the competitors are this year, and there are some very, very high quality athletes on the start list, the star of the show is going to be the course, Winnetts Pass. As someone who's become intimately acquainted with this jewel of the Peak District is photographer Tony Wood, who's conducted a number of shoots on its brutal ramps, including with Brother UK's Adam Kenway.
Physically, Winnetts is spectacular, like you wouldn't believe. You know, you've got to see it to believe it. The fact is, it's massive. There's so much space around it. On other hill climbs, you might be tight on the road. At the one at Sheffield a couple of years ago, there wasn't much space other either side of the road. Whereas at Winnetts, it's in a big valley. It's the pass actually through it. And I think it's, what, just over a kilometre from cattle grid to cattle grid. It will be spectacular. You can get huge crowds there with social distancing, and it's just a win-win-win. You know, if ever you said to me, where's the place they should have a hill climb? It's Winnetts, for more reasons than a cut time to tell you. And for those people that haven't been, it is unbelievable. It's so spectacular. I know the hill well. I've done a few photo shoots there, the most recent being Adam. I am sport for choice, and I love it here, yes.
Well, what a brilliant description there from Tony. Spectacular. Sounds about right, if his pictures are anything to go by. Do make sure to give at TonyWood29, that's all one word, TonyWood29, a follow on Instagram if you're not following him already, because you will see some brilliant images. Now, Tony mentioned Adam there, and of course, Adam will be well known to the followers of Brother Cycling. He was crowned National Hill Climb Champion back in 2016, and he's been on the podium a further four occasions. Adam's a Derbyshire man, born and bred, And Winnetts Pass is among his very favourite climbs.
I love Winnetts. I do like Winnetts. I live local enough, so it's about 35, 40 minutes away. It's hard. It doesn't matter who you are, it's a hard climb to get up, especially if the weather's not on your side. On the wrong day, if you get a big gust of wind and it's wet, slippy, the best of riders can put the foot down and struggle to get up to the top. I'm so glad I'll be able to race Winnetts when I'm at my peak of performance. It's just an amazing climb. It's so iconic anywhere. I can remember when I was growing up, the chap who got me into cycling, he was a pro, and one of the first stories he told me was when he used to go up Winnetts on Tour of the Peaks, and he used to finish up there, and pro riders were just getting off and walking up there. It was after 70 miles, so I do have to give him a bit of a let off for that. It's such a brutal climb, and such a lovely scenery, and it's just a nice place to be. If you're walking, anything like that, it's just a beautiful part of the world.
Adam's endorsement, I think, speaks volumes. I mean, he's been at the very sharp end of men's hill climbing for 7 years, and as a son of the Peak District, so to speak, he knows all about Winnetts Pass. I mean, it was interesting, Phil, wasn't it, to hear Adam talk about Winnetts bringing pro cyclists to a halt back in the day. But you were telling me off air that at least one rider from the golden age of 1960s hill climbing had no trouble in conquering its gradients.
The stat I love the most in all of this is the course record for Winnetts is still held by a gentleman called Peter Greenelge, and it's been held since 1966. Despite all of the advancements in technology, bikes, gearing, and everything, in 1966, Peter Greenelge did this course in 3:11.8. And what's outstanding about that is actually apparently he rode over on the day of the championships from Nottingham. He had a bit of a cold as well, a cough and a cold. So he wasn't in his peak form. And he rode it and he did that time, which to this day still stands. And after the championship, he rode home and did a race in the afternoon, which I believe he won. And I believe he did it on a fixed wheel too. So you're on a steel bike on a fixed wheel. You've ridden from Nottingham with a cough and a cold and you've gone home again afterwards. And here we all are, 55 years later, and your performance on that day still stands despite all the advancements in bike technology. And that is why I think hill climbing still remains an absolutely honest sport. And I'd love to see whether any of the riders are able to break that record. Winds play a big part on Winnetts. That's the other thing that if anyone's ever ridden it, is the wind plays a big part. It can either be your greatest friend or your greatest foe. And clearly with that record in 1966, it's probably like there's a tailwind in play on that day. I think given here we all are in 2021, if we get a real good tailwind on the day with the condition of some of these athletes that are going to be competing, then the course record may be up for grabs.
Well, that's a good shout, Phil. I mean, we know that several of the favourites have been setting unofficial course records in training, including Adam. And here he makes a very interesting observation on how, you know, when it comes to Winnetts, the relationship between speed and suffering is counterintuitive.
Climbs are totally different at race pace. If you're going up steady, it's horrific because it's like a 6-7 minute climb. But the hill climb event, because it's a little bit shorter, because from category to category, it's going to be, I reckon, around about 3 minutes. The very steep bits don't feel as steep because you're going over them so quickly. And you're getting over them to the next flat stage. So you have to make sure you pace yourself properly for that race pace effort, not a training effort as such. It's so easy to be scared of Winnetts and think holding something back because you don't want to stop and put your foot down. So you need to get everything out, but then also pace yourself. It is a climb that comes to you, but you still need to put the effort in at the start. I was up there on Sunday. Unfortunately, my Wahoo broke that day, so I didn't have any data, but it's a shame I couldn't upload anything on there, Strava, because recently it's been quite nice that Tom Bell's been up and broke the course record, and Andy Feather's been up and broke the course record. I'll probably get up there before the Nationals and just put another time out there, just to chuck another time into the hat kind of thing.
Yeah, I love the fact that the competition among the favourites has begun on Strava even before the official event. We talked earlier, Phil, about the top female contenders, Bitha Jones, Mary Wilkinson, Rebecca Richardson, etc. And we said we'd look at the form guide for the senior men. Adam mentioned there that he'd been checking out the Strava times of Tom Bell and Andrew Feather. I know that you're one for the data, Phil. So can you tell us a bit more about Tom and Andrew's times on Winnetts and their power outputs as well?
I'm always interested to sort of know, I wonder what sort of output you've got to do to win that. And clearly power to weight ratio plays a really important part. And this is one part of the sport where actually the weights of the bikes are not regulated in any way. So clearly if you can get yourself in great condition, balance with your power output, and then you've got a light bike. Dremel really ought to be sponsoring this championship. How Dremel don't sponsor the Hill Climb Championships, I don't know, because all sorts of bits are being chopped off of bikes and sanded down to make these bikes lighter. But when I had a look, it's very interesting because Tom Bell actually currently holds the KOM for this course in 3 minutes 25 seconds. And his power output was 437 watts with an average speed of 16.8 kilometers an hour, which is just over 10 miles an hour effectively, which I thought was amazing. And then Andrew Feather, who obviously is one of the top hill climbers in the country, clearly a very different frame to Tom in terms of his build, but his output was 523 watts. He did that in 3 minutes 27 seconds. You know, I'm always thinking, right, okay, think of this in your own life when you're next sat on your Watt bike or your turbo train or whatever that might be, or out on the road. Just hold 520 watts for as long as you possibly can and just see how it feels, because this is the sort of level that you've got to be at to have a fighting chance effectively to win a national hill climb championship.
Yeah, agreed, 100%. I mean, there are so many fascinating contradictions almost, aren't there, at the heart of hill climbing. We're going to talk in some detail about the tech, for example, which is on the one hand obsessive, but on the other, you know, a lot of it is frankly not very expensive. But perhaps the greatest contradiction is this mix of grassroots sport and elite performance. You know, Mary Wilkinson, she was a mountain runner for Great Britain, what's known in the UK as fell running. And that's another discipline which, if you put it inside a stadium, it would be an Olympic event, wouldn't it, in a heartbeat. And the athletes would be household names. Adam kind of embodies this, doesn't he? I was lucky enough to watch him go wheel to wheel with the World Tour boys on the cow and calf climb at the Tour de Yorkshire a couple of years ago. There's no question that Adam could hold his own at that level. I know you're a big fan of Adam as well, Phil.
I think Adam's very motivated at the moment, and you can just see in his face that he really wants to put a great performance on at this national championships. One thing about Adam, you know, I will say, I've been lucky to know him for a few years now, because clearly when we sponsored the Vitus Pro Cycling team, I got to spend time with Adam, and he's a very, very professional person indeed. He really, really applies himself. He takes his riding really seriously, but he's also a very, very humble and nice guy underneath it all. Put him on a bike on a hill climb, and he sort of turns into a beast mode. He's got like his beast mode switch. And if you ever see pictures of him, and particularly pictures when they come from the front, you'll just see these sort of wide shoulders and this gritty determination, this pain in his face, where he becomes committed to the cause to squeeze every single ounce of energy out of his body. Every muscle is working, and he really wants to make sure he leaves everything on the road. I can remember talking to him once after the hill climb in Sheffield, and he said he always rides through the line. He never stops. He always just carries on riding, because literally he's in such a place where he kind of needs to almost come down from that place, because he's so far into his hurt locker that actually he just can't come out of it. He's got to gently come out of it. So he rides on through the line in order to just get his heart rate down a bit and to start to recover, to regain focus. So that blur of that final 40, 50 meters where actually your heart rate is at your maximum, lactate is screaming in every muscle of your body, you're saying stop. These hill climbers have just got this ability to be in the darkest of place, yet find a little bit more. And I think that is a genuinely incredible characteristic of those athletes.
Well, if athletic performance wasn't reason enough to follow the hill climb scene, then the bike tech is something else. It's a brilliant mix of hacksaws and high tech, Dremels and very niche, ultra sophisticated solutions. I mean, there aren't many people better qualified to discuss hill climb bike tech than mechanic Rick Bailey, who, as well as building and fettling his own bikes, also looks after the machines of his partner, Rebecca Richardson.
The technical side, because it is such a niche, you know, I mean, you can turn up on any bike and get an off the peg road bike from any bike shop and turn up and race on that. You can turn up on your Tour de France race bike, but for a hill climb, you could make it better. So the tech does play a part, whether it's reducing weight, rolling resistance, can get really quite specific in terms of the settle. And as I say, it will vary from course to course, rider to rider. And that's part of the beauty of it. Going to a hill climb, and there is such a broad variety of bikes, from fixed gears to people who save weights to people trying to outdo each other on aerodynamics, rolling resistance, Drillanium,
you name it, it will appear at some point. Walk around the pit, so to speak, and there's all manner of crazy creations. People love fretting about the little things. Let's take the cable crimp off the end, water bottle case, all these little things. If you leave it on, then that'll be like a bit of a mental block. I know when I jump on my hill climb bike, it's a machine built for a purpose. It's like strapping yourself into a race car or something, you know. Everyone wants to get on their bike knowing they've done everything they can to reduce the weight, to improve the rolling resistance, and that it's built for the course as well. The courses vary so much. Short courses, long courses, steep courses, flat courses. You want to change your bike and alter it to make sure it performs on that particular course.
Well, there's Rick Bailey, a man who races on a steel bike with extreme geometry, tailored for the sole purpose of going uphill fast. Phil, I know you admire Rick's approach, which is almost like, you know, the total opposite of chucking money at a problem or trying to buy speed.
Yeah, I mean, I love Rick. And what I really like about what he does is that he tries to do modifications which are sort of accessible by everybody. It's not the fact that he can afford modifications that other people can't. He does stuff on sort of a tenner in order that it can be replicated. And I just think that is so good, because actually then you could replicate that on your own bike.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's not just Rick, is it? I mean, Adam has got this Super Bling Specialized, which he uses for road racing and even the occasional hill climb. But on Sunday, he'll be riding a machine without a spare gram of excess weight.
I've had my hacksaw out and I've had my Dremel out as well. My Dremel's been working hard the last couple of days. My hill climb bike will be around 5.6 kilo, probably within a kilo of anybody's bike. I think the lightest you'll probably be looking at is probably 4.6-ish. I don't think anybody's racing on a bike lighter than that. You still have to have it so it's usable. And the last thing you want to do is on the day something breaks. And to be fair, everybody's done that. The top players, I'm sure, everybody's pushed the limits a bit too far and lost something, or something's gone wrong because of it's too lightweight, or they've tried to have one bolt missing which hasn't worked, and then they kind of dial it back to the point where they know it's reliable, they can get the performance out on the day and it's as light as it can be. But there's more lightweight bikes coming out now which are almost at hill climbing weight as standard, which is really exciting. My Specialized, it's kind of UCI legal limit, about 6.7, 6.8 kilos, which is still like super light, but I can certainly feel a difference, another kilo off the bike.
I mean, let's just recap there. Hacksaws, Dremels, and bikes as light as 4.6 kilograms. There's plenty here on the tech side for hill climbers to geek out over, but I guess, Phil, if you're going uphill, weight is always going to be the primary consideration, isn't it? I know that you're a huge fan of the tech. Are there any ultra-lightweight solutions that stick in your mind?
If you recall, Tim, when Rebecca came to record this episode with us on hill climbing when we were in the studio that day, it seemed a long time ago now, a couple of years maybe, she brought her set of Zed string wheels with her. I don't think either of us have ever experienced a set of wheels which was so light in our hand. It's the lightest set of wheels I've ever, ever, ever lifted in my whole life. It was quite incredible. And you wonder how a set of wheels made of string can actually cope with the forces that go through the back of the wheel, but they do. These are the levels of technology, and certainly those wheels, yes, there is a price to access those wheels, because you say string wheels, you can't make them in your house at home. That's a very specialist product, which is an expensive product. So that's an example of the top hill climbers using some top premium equipment. But generally speaking, it's still a very accessible sport, in that you could effectively buy a bike and just with a few simple modifications, significantly change the weight of a bike and roll up and compete.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. Despite the incredible technology that's available, and as Adam says, you know, off the peg bikes getting lighter and lighter, you simply don't need to spend thousands of pounds to compete in a hill climb. And let's not forget either that not everyone is mechanically inclined. Rebecca, for example, is the first to admit that she's far more comfortable, if that's the right word, with the physical side of hill climbing.
There's a bit of a running joke, actually, with Rick and friends that give a bike to me and I'll break it. And I just say, well, it's because I ride it. I'm not very good at thinking beyond that, because probably it is just one step too much that I can't take in. When I was on the team, I remember another running joke, who had the dirtiest bike? I did. Because I didn't have time. I'd give it a very quick wash down, but I definitely didn't have that half day to strip it down, clean it up. So yeah, meeting Rick, he's a mechanic, he loves the tech, and he just can't bear to see my bikes in the state they are. He just sort of took control of the bike situation, which I'm very happy about. I really truly appreciate and understand the need for good equipment. And I've learned a lot about how much equipment can improve your performance. I would never run my bikes as I used to in a race, maybe a few years ago. I'll always want a clean chain. I always want to think about drivetrain efficiency, tyre selection, right wheel selection. You know, things have evolved, but I definitely still break bikes. I don't know how I do it.
Now, the hill climb scene is about more than super strong riders and ultralight bikes. If you want to truly understand what makes hill climbing such a special community, then you have to understand the fundamental relationship between the competitors and the climb.
If you compare it to other aspects of UK cycling, it is really quite different. I do a lot of time trialing and it's great, but it's nothing like the hill climb community. People help each other a lot. And I think that does stem from the fact that when you're riding a hill climb, you're not really thinking about, oh, I've got to beat this other person. You're just trying to get to the top of the hill as quickly as you can and ride the hill as best you can. It's you against the hill. And everybody has that feeling. And, you know, people finish their race. They don't go back to their car. They get off their bike and walk a little bit down the hill and cheer on everybody else coming up, trying to get them to go faster, trying to get them to beat the time that you've just set. It's a really nice community. It's very supportive. And this is why we hope that the National Champs will be such a good event.
So a pretty clear description there from Nick between hill climbing and other disciplines. The primary goal is to beat the hill rather than other riders. Even this, however, only tells part of the story. I know that for Rebecca, the diversity of the riders attracted by hill climbing speaks volumes for the unique nature of this sporting challenge and the spirit that inspires.
The hill climb community has got a great spirit. You know, it is a real grassroots sport still. It's very accessible, which I think is why it's so popular across such a diverse range of genders and ages. You'll get sort of 12-year-old kids riding up a climb, or recently at the Burway, I happened to notice the 66-year-old man who had a 4.6 kilo hill climb bike, which he'd been working on for 3 years. And turns out he is actually the current national champion from Hator 2019. I just thought, isn't that amazing? You know, you've got a 66-year-old man and a 10-year-old girl at the same event alongside Richard Bussell, who is one of the best time trial hill climb athletes in the country. And you're all there on the start line together, cheering each other on. It's such an unusual setting. It'd be like having Greg Van Avermaet competing in the same race as a 10-year-old. And that's possible in hill climbing. So hill climbing is just an incredibly fun type of sporting event. Because of the fact that anyone can ride up the climb, it makes it hugely diverse. And everybody goes through the same level of pain, you know, no matter how fast you go up it. Everybody gets the same cheer from the spectators. The spectators are just really happy to see people give it a go.
Few competitors embody hill climbing's inclusive nature more than 18-year-old Jack Young, the newly crowned Shropshire Series junior champion. Now, Jack has autism, and he says his devotion to cycling has helped him overcome several challenges in his young life.
I got treated a bit differently at school and everything, and I just liked cycling. It was like a bit of an escape from everything. You can just be on your bike for hours and just have fun with it. The teachers weren't very educated on it, so they didn't sort of understand anything about it, really. I didn't understand that I liked cycling, and I'd have to work things I was doing around cycling to understand it better. There's nothing else I think about, really. I just always look forward to riding my bike. A lot of people have a lot of distractions from it, but I just like riding my bike and having fun with it. I've made friends with a lot of people at hill climbs, which is good. And just go there, do it, and then you can just discuss it with everyone afterwards, because everyone's had the same experience with it and everyone's really friendly.
Well, some valuable insights there from Jack, whose passion for cycling really came into its own when he and his mum Audrey decided on homeschooling for Jack's senior education. And something else that came out of our conversation was, you know, Jack has got this super detailed knowledge of the sport's history. I can't think of many 18-year-olds in 2021 who would identify Coppi, Merckx, Fignon among their heroes. And increasingly, the special skills of people with autism are being celebrated, and Jack's natural focus on the bike, almost to the exclusion of anything else, is pretty closely aligned with the approach of many of the top hill climbers. It seems fitting, Phil, doesn't it, that Jack would feel right at home in the hill climb scene?
Yes, and that's no surprise to me, Tim, because that's something I've witnessed firsthand when I've gone to these events, is just the general inclusivity. I think that absolutely is the word in its broadest sense. You can turn up as a 50-year-old dressed as Spider-Man on an old bike and somebody will celebrate you. There's every part of the spectrum, whatever your life story, whatever your lived experience, you'd be welcomed in amongst the community and invited to participate. And even if you're the last person across the line on the day, that in itself will be applauded, lauded, and somebody will say, great job. And that's what I think is sometimes lacking in life nowadays, isn't it? We become so ultra competitive. But what I've seen in hill climbing is this, let's just enjoy it. Let's make the sport bigger. And equally, even some of its biggest stars support each other very, very well. They'll share their tire pressures. They'll say bits on the road which are slippy, and they'll give advice to their competitors. In order that, I think, and this is where I think the ultimate honesty comes, is that they just want to know, on the day, all things equal, I actually was the best. So even if I told you that there's a little bit of grease on the right-hand side of the road and you missed it, and I still beat you, to some degree, what that means is I really honestly beat you rather than withholding something for my competitive advantage, which is slightly different than most areas of competitive sport.
Now, there are a few sporting events, never mind cycling disciplines, that offer such an intimate view of the athlete's suffering as hill climbing. Photographer Tony Wood has some incredible shots in his portfolio of riders on the limit, and he has some valuable local knowledge of the most demanding climbs in the north of England.
The great thing with the hill climbing, though, is where else can you get as close to the athletes, and in this case cyclists, as you do with a hill climber? You can get within 2 or 3 yards of them on the hill, going up the hill. I was at the hill climb last year, Peaslow, the one near Sparrow Pit, and Dame Sarah Story was there. When you're watching people of that calibre and profile, they then thank you for coming. I remember Dame Sarah Story said to me, thanks very much for coming and taking the photos and stuff. For me, it's a great opportunity to see, let's face it, world-class athletes. So look at the profiles of your Andrew Feathers of the world and reading what his performance figures are. And he's right at the top of his game and could hold his own with any athlete in the world in terms of his VO2 output and stuff. And the beauty of it is you get to within several yards of them and watching them close up. And it's a win-win-win for me as a photographer. I guess it's a win-win-win if you get a decent photo for them as well. I do try and find a couple of different places. I mean, if you're looking at something like Winnetts Pass, it's fairly big. And I've done test shots in the past, and a lot also depends on the lighting. I'll just move around and pick what I think's the best lighting and stuff, and I'll take a variety of shots, and some work better than others, but within reason, based on the hills that I go to, I know what kit to take with me, nor where the best places to take the photos are. For me, like I think a lot of photographers, you know your setup before you go to an event. So Monsell at the top of the hill, most of the action's within the last 50 yards, so I can get away normally with a 70 to 200 zoom, but I do take two cameras with me, as do most of the other photographers. So I've got one camera with a 70 to 200 zoom lens on, and it's a full frame camera, so you capture more per pixel, so to speak, and it's better in low light, and personally, it's something I prefer. But on top of that, my second camera will have a wide angle lens on it, and I will have a lens or two in my bag just in case I want to put something else on. But within reason, I take two cameras with me with two totally different lenses, a mid-size zoom and wide-angle zoom.
Well, pretty comprehensive summary there from Tony. And if you haven't seen his work, then do follow at TonyWood29 on Instagram, because he has some fantastic images. Phil, I know that you enjoy the photography from the hill climb scene, and that's more than just the riders, isn't it? I mean, shooters like Tony really capture the spirit of the day.
It really is a wonderful thing. I mean, visually, the photographers like Tony, Dave Doohan, obviously Larry Hickmott, turn up to these events and share these pictures with us are just brilliant, because I think it is the faces. There was a great picture that Tony took of Adam only a day or two ago, where if you look at the muscles in his legs, the definition of muscles in his leg, which really indicate the sheer amount of oxygen that must be being pumped into his legs at that moment in time, is absolutely phenomenal. You just think, I can see there the energy that's going in, even though it's just a photograph. You can almost capture the motion of that particular moment in time. And then once you throw into the mix a diverse crowd, you know, with bobble hats on and cowbells and pans and all of these different things. People in the road in fancy dress and all this sort of stuff, really urging people on. And they're pulling as big a face, actually, as some of the riders sometimes in encouragement. Then actually that makes for a very, very special atmosphere.
Indeed it does. Now, we've talked already about the unique spirit of the hill climb community, and it seems only fitting that Sunday's national championships will stand for something more than 300 riders grinding their way up Winnett's Pass. Nick Latimer, who together with Chris Myhill and a committee of volunteers has put in countless hours to organise the event and to raise vital sponsorship, not only so the championships can return to the home of British hill climbing, but so local causes can benefit too.
We had to get sponsorship, and I contacted many, many companies and didn't get responses from everybody, but was really pleased that did get positive responses from quite a few. And often not sponsoring like a huge amount, but when you added it all together, it was enough. And Brother were one of the biggest ones, and they came back really quickly, said what they could do to support us. And it's immediately a load off your mind, because suddenly you realise, well, actually, we have got enough money. And really importantly, is that when we set out to run this event, we made it very clear to the parish council that we're not a profit-making company who are running a sportive through the Peak District to try to make some money. We're just volunteers who have been asked to run an event by a national body who are getting no money for it at all. And if we do make any profit, we don't keep it, we don't get anything, we're going to donate it to local causes. So we wanted to make some profit so that we could then go to the parish council and tell them, look, we have actually managed to make this money. What would you like us to donate it to? And that was actually a really nice experience. I went to the Castleton Parish Council meeting and I was able to say that this is how much we think we're going to be able to donate. Can you let us know which of the charities you'd like us to give X, Y, Z amount to? And they were really happy. Castleton Primary School, I mean, I really want to support them. I've got three kids in a primary school in the Peak District, not Castleton, but a village nearby. And I know how those schools struggle to get the funding they need. Castleton's got something like 26 children in the whole school, spread over two buildings, not many members of staff. They need help, so they're going to be a prime beneficiary. There's also things like the Castleton Playing Fields Committee. And again, if you live in a village, you get to realise how important the playing fields are. I mean, it's nice to be in the Peak District, but children want stuff to play on. And often there's not much money to go around for things like that to keep things in a nice state and a good working order. So donating to that. Then there's things like the Castleton Village Hall, Hope Valley College, because that's where we're having the HQ. We're going to be making a donation to the PTA there as well. So those kind of things.
So wonderful to hear there from Nick that the sponsorship he's raised for this year's Nationals, including from Brother UK, is going to make a real difference to the communities that surround Winnett's Pass. Phil, you and I talked earlier, didn't we, about some of the pre-race favourites, but let's now get a final assessment from Larry Higmott, the founder and editor of Brother UK-sponsored VeloUK.net.
In terms of the favourites, I haven't looked at who is actually most well-suited to that climb. I had some messages from people who saw the win by Tom Bell on Mam Neck. Apparently that was very special because he absolutely smashed the national champion Andrew Feather's course record there. Adam was second on the Beck CC one. Everyone thought Adam was going to win it when he set a really great time on the climb there, which is extreme, one in four in places. It's an extremely steep hill. So Adam is obviously going well. I think he's a good bet for a podium place, but whether or not he can do the victory, you know, Andy Nichols won at Monsall. There's quite a few. There's probably a good half a dozen or at least in the men's scene that are favourites for the victory in the Nationals. And in the women's side, as I say, Ilya Gardner's been doing extremely well. The current national champion, whose name escapes me, not great with some pronunciation sometimes. She's a lovely person to talk to and obviously a great rider. I think she was a veteran as well this year and just definitely a favourite. And of course, Rebecca, who's podiumed at Monsall.
A nice summary there from Larry, and of course the reigning British women's hill climb champion, whose name Larry struggles to pronounce, is Bitha Jones, and I hope I've got that right. Bitha won last month at Monsall Head 2, so she'll definitely start among the favourites. Interesting there, Phil, to hear Larry emphasise Adam's build-up to this year's Nationals. Oh, by his own admission, Adam is a man who thrives on the big occasion, and in hill climbing, occasions don't get much bigger than a return to Winnetts Pass after 40 years.
It is indeed, and it comes with an incredible history, as we've already discussed. Adam will be really determined to put in his best performance on the day, because as a former national hill climb champion, he's had that taste and he wants it again. And clearly, looking at how he's been training, the hours he's been putting in, the hill climbs he's been doing, absolutely he's going to turn up in the best shape to do his best possible ride on the day. I'll just share a learning which has served me well. If you are circulating in the pits on the day, leave your engagement with the riders till after they've ridden, because they are so focused on the morning to get their warm-ups right, to get their head right. Clearly, this is a very, very important national championships for them. So I guess we all ought to just give them that little bit of space on the day till at least they've gone through that line. And at that particular point, I'm sure you're going to get the best from them in terms of engagement.
Well, let's wrap up now with a social shout out. If you want to follow any of our guests on social media, here's how to do it. You can follow Nick and his Winnetts committee on Twitter at Winnetts21. That's WINNATS21. Adam Kenway is on Facebook at adam.kenway.9 and on Instagram at kenwayadam. Rebecca Richardson is on Instagram at box_Richardson, BOCS. And on Twitter at RRA_design. Rick Bailey is on Instagram at Bike Mechanic Rick, all one word. Tony Wood is on Twitter and Instagram at TonyWood2929. Larry Higmott is on Facebook at VeloUK, on Twitter at VeloUK and at Aussie Larry, and on Instagram at VeloUK website. And Phil Jones is on Twitter at Road Phil for cycling and at PhilJones4040 for business and leadership. Phil, thank you very much indeed for joining me today. Thank you to everybody out there for listening. And as another winter of COVID approaches, do please stay safe.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.